Yeah.
Mr. Coulson.
Good morning.
Good morning, Mr. President.
Hi. How's the Democratic Committee?
Well, I haven't gotten a report on what's happened over there this morning.
Yeah.
I'll get that.
Aren't they voting today?
Yes, sir. And as a matter of fact, they were supposed to have something by noon as to the situation. I'll check that and call you back. I'm sure I can get a reading right away.
Do you think if they get Strauss, that'll rehabilitate him?
Well, it'll help him, but I don't think they're going to get Strauss.
Oh, really? You still don't think so?
I don't think so, sir, because there's just too much. What you do is you drive the McGovernites right out if they get Strauss.
Are they claiming they'll get out?
Yes, sir. Yeah. I think we would. Strauss would normally be the most effective guy they could get, but I think in view of the purge of the McGovernites, that it would probably blow up at him if they.
Yeah.
I mean, we're going to win either way because they can't heal it. If they end up with Mitchell, that's their best solution because he's.
No, it's all right. He's
A guy that can.
I don't care how smart he is or anything. He's still not going to. He's from Maine.
He's from Maine. He's smart, but he's not. He's not a Strauss kind of a guy. Who really is a powerful, strong, brilliant individual.
He isn't going to be able to pull the Southerners back in, though, is he?
Strauss?
Yeah. No, Mitchell.
Oh, Mitchell? Hell no.
I'm concerned about.
I don't think
we've got to handle labor, and I suppose Meany will go for a Mitchell owner.
Yes, he will, but I don't believe Meany's going to. Getting an awful lot of reports. I don't think
he's going to break it off on us that hard, right?
No,
now.
He sure isn't. God, he's doing anything but. He's doing every.
Right.
Pete has hired one of his assistants, and Meany was thrilled with it.
Good.
And they've been talking this week. Great relationship. The more important thing is the relationship that Pete is getting, however, around the country from people. It's
great. Schultz, of course, is keeping very close to Meany, which is good. That's
yes.
One of Schultz's great services, right?
I must say, to Schultz's great credit, he called me yesterday and he said, Chuck, he said, I wasn't sure about Brennan. He said, I was afraid he wouldn't be able to do it. But he said, the more I've dealt with him, watched him operate, and gotten reactions, he said, he's going to be a hell of a good Secretary of Labor. He said, you picked a great man.
Good. So, great.
It's nice of George, because he was
great.
He was worried about
great.
Brennan, but
great.
And Brennan has gotten the damnedest press reaction, Mr. President, the damnedest fan mail.
Is that right?
Oh, it's incredible. He made letters. He brought in some of them to me. That letters from people saying, "Well, we weren't really sure. We voted for Nixon. We weren't really sure, but now we are. He does believe in the working man, and he's. You know, I think this has really had a.
You mean the idea? They finally think that the appointment of a working man makes them think we're for the working man. Isn't
that precisely it?
They talk about all the tokenism. We appoint blacks, and that they don't think you're for black.
No, exactly.
And Mexicans, they don't think you're for Mexican. But a working man, by golly, that is really something.
Well, this kind of locked it up. You know, Pete said he ran into a guy down at Florida at the space shot. He said the fellow, the young fellow, came over.
Pete went to the space shot?
Yes, sir.
Great.
We're doing a lot of this.
I hope he went on our plane.
Oh, yes. We gave him the treatment.
And did he like it?
Yes, sir.
Good.
Oh, he's very happy. And we've brought him in. I mean, he's now part of the club. And he feels at home with us. He feels at home with you, and he feels at home with me, and he feels
right.
at home with, of course, Don Rogers here. And that.
Right.
So we're not going to have the Durkin kind of problem with it. But he said he went to the space shot, and the young fellow came over to him, and he said, I voted for Nixon. I wasn't really sure, he said. He said, I'm a Democrat, but now I'm switching my registration. He said, when a man like you can be made Secretary of Labor, that's the party I want to be in. It's just little evidence, but...
great.
But it's, of course, that's boosted his spirits because he really,
marvelous.
He really feels he's. So I don't think.
Great.
I really don't care who the hell they.
They
put in as the party chairman. The fundamental dichotomy or the fundamental cleavage within the Democratic Party is such that, with what you're doing to build the new majority and what I hope to help you doing, I think we're going to keep them split, and I'm awful bullish about what. What we can do in this country in terms of the basic philosophies or the basic allegiances of people. They may not ever become Republicans, but they're Nixon. Some way to perpetuate that, I don't know. But
we could change
great
the
stuff.
Party.
Great stuff.
Yeah.
I just got a terribly tragic bit of news, that plane crash. Howard Hunt's wife was on it. And it's
his wife is dead?
Yes, sir. She was killed in that plane crash in Chicago.
Oh, my God.
And it's a tragedy. I don't know the man. I don't know whether the man can survive it, you know, with all he's gone through. She was an extraordinary woman, just extraordinary. I think any judge who has any compassion will call that trial off. Any judge will.
You mean call it off permanently? Not permanently. You
know. Well, maybe separate him out or delay the trial or something, because she was a terror of strength to him. I mean, she was a rare, gifted woman, multilingualist, brilliant, a lot of charm. But it's sure as a...
They have children?
4 children, beautiful children. It's a tragedy. Devout Catholics, and that's it.
God.
Probably
he's
saved,
a Catholic.
Probably saves him from committing suicide.
Is he a Catholic?
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
But it's life, I guess. Kind of a shocker. The number is, I don't know what impact that'll have on the case. I think it'll delay, I'm sure it'll delay it. I just can't conceive of them taking that to trial next week. The numbers continue to hold up, Mr. President.
Yeah, what's your latest?
Well, it's the same. The percentage is absolutely unchanged. And
In other words, 61.05 for one?
61.056. You rounded out to 61.06, but that's ahead of Johnson.
And his is 61.05.
Right. 61.050, so it's interesting as the additional numbers come in now, and we all states are certified now except 5, and the numbers probably aren't going to now change very much, if at all. You're over 47 million.
You did go over 47.
Yes, sir. 47,024,530 is the. I think I'm within. Well, I think by.
Remember, you always said to go to 47.
Yes,
that's
sir.
Good.
I think by next.
None of this is getting in the press yet, but I suppose that there will be a final wrap-up story someday. How do we get that done?
Oh, hell, I think the new national chairman, at the right time, calls a press conference and says, gentlemen, it's a very historic thing. This is the largest percentage majority for any president in the history. And just spiel off all the statistics and give a complete state-by-state tabulation. It'll make press.
But we're now really over 47, you're pretty sure of that?
Yes, sir. These are figures we get, got to rely on the Secretary of State's office or the Registrar's office in different states. It varies, but my people have stayed very close to it. I think they're doing a good job of tracking it, and...
That's good. I think if it's holding at that 41.056, it isn't going to change much from that, is it?
No, I don't think so.
Because even that, even those are minimal percentages, that's damn hard to change that down to below, 41.05, don't you think?
Yes, it would be hard, and the point is that every time we've checked...
But all the states that are out, as if the ones you mentioned the other day, are going to help us. Arkansas will help us. New Jersey will help us.
Well, those are in now, but
what's in? What's
Missouri
that?
Still isn't in.
What is it?
Missouri is still not completely in.
That'll help us.
That's going to help us. Massachusetts is in, but not certified, but that doesn't matter. That won't change.
Yeah.
New York is in, but not certified. Oh, no, not completely in. Maybe some more there.
That could hurt.
Rhode Island is in, but... Oh, no, New York is...
Holding at 60-40, but, we need a little more now. Well, this could be upstate, though, huh?
It could well be. It could be absentee.
Yeah.
The more votes that have been coming in, the bigger the spread has been. Therefore, I have to conclude there's not going to be anything that will change that. I think we're going to... I'm sure we're going to be over.
It'd be good if we go to 41.07.
Yeah, it sure will.
Or 6 or something like that.
Well, I'm going to enjoy it when it happens, because Haldeman tells me I'm playing this like a pole that you could influence, and I just want to prove that with positive thinking you can do that. But I think the numbers are there.
Great.
The unemployment...
That story has got a surprisingly good play. Did the networks play it, too?
Oh, yeah, they played it.
But, my God, I was amazed to see the Times and Post play the damn story. Those
characters
would never have done it before the election.
Times led with it. Yeah, it's great.
But even the Post had a good story.
Yep. Yeah, they did.
The Times led with it, but...
Boy, it proves one thing, though, that those bureaucrats really did a job on us over there.
Well, they waited till after the election, Chuck.
Well, of course.
You know damn well that this was not a month when the seasonal adjustment would have helped us.
Give you a fascinating statistic, Mr. President. In 1970, between October and November, the unemployment rate rose 0.4%. In 1971, between October and November, it rose 0.2%. year, it dropped 0.3%. The reason in the prior years that it rose so significantly is that we get one of the worst seasonal adjustment bounces in this month.
I get
and
it.
Yet, in the face of that, it went down 0.3%. Now, they, God damn it, had to jimmy those figures the month before they had to.
Sure.
No other way. I've looked at the numbers, the raw numbers.
Now they're trying to have to get well. Oh, yes.
But I went, I went through this with Brennan.
Brennan realizes because Meany tries to play sometimes the line, well, the unemployment are more unemployed than it really shows. Now, we mustn't start playing that line.
No, sir.
True.
Oh, Brennan will suggest, Christ, Brennan doesn't think there's any unemployed. He said, I can't hire people when I need them.
Yeah.
No, no. And I showed him, I went through this chart with him that I just read to you from, and he said, oh, my God, those dirty bastards. They're like the commies.
Yeah.
So he'll clean them out. I'm not.
Yeah.
We give Pete a couple of good, tough guys around him, and he'll
find a good guy for that job.
Well,
clean out, because he's got to really control the damn bureaucracy. I just don't know more. I don't want any job for more though. Now I just don't kick him upstairs. Out.
Yeah, he'll go back to teaching. That's where he belongs.
Good. That's where he belongs.
But no, we've got a man at Treasury who's damn good, Fiedler, and he's the one I wanted to get in there before. I've talked to Schultz about it. Schultz will let him go, and.
Good.
I think we just have to tell him he has to take the job, period.
And then get somebody in the second job and so forth.
Yep. I wish we could get Simlinger because, God, he knows how they have cheated and stolen and can't. But,
that's right.
But it sure proved it, if there was ever any doubt about it before.
Well, at least it's good news, though, to have.
Oh, it's great news. We didn't need it before the election, and frankly, I kind of like it now, because it's feeding the mood in this country right now, which is...
The pre-Christmas mood is being fed, don't you think?
It really is. You know, those damn retail sales are
falling,
and...
Unbelievable.
It really is. And I just think it's...
The country's getting its confidence back.
Yes, it is. Exactly. That is what you have done with this country. You've given it a... resurgence of self-confidence that it just so badly needed. God, it needed it.
Yeah. Well, the whole McGovernites and the media were out of tune, but we haven't talked about the biggest news. What do you think about life?
Isn't that marvelous?
Really?
I just...
And Hugh Seide. Now, who the hell's he going to write for?
Well, he'll write for Time, but he'll...
He'll write a column. Time will have a column watching the president, right? Well, they get a bigger audience, I guess, in Time.
I don't know that they will do that, Mr. President, because that doesn't fit their format.
Well, I hope not. I hope they don't. As that really is, my daughter Julie, who's very intelligent, perceptive, says he's a vicious person. She said people don't realize it. He writes now and then, puts in something, but he always has very sharp, ugly things in his column. She is totally right.
He's a vulture. You know, if you watch him on television, I usually watch that...
The Magransky.
Yeah, only because I want to know what the best is.
That's right.
I hate the show, but...
Yeah.
But you watch him, and he's always got this pompous, arrogant, self-righteous, look-down-his-nose attitude. He's just a snide son of a bitch.
I hope that show goes out of business somewhere or other.
Well, it's useful to us because it tells us
us what the establishment's up to, doesn't it?
Yeah, the old establishment. You know, we've got them awful shook.
Are they getting shaken, really?
Well, you know that story on the Teamsters yesterday, which of course is...
Well, the Teamsters about the hiring you, I saw something about that.
Edward Bennett Williams put that out, and...
Why did he put it out? Did he lose them?
He lost them, yes. They were...
Great!
Yeah, well, he put it out in a nasty way, and... The fact that I was had something to do with Fitzsimmons trying to pressure Williams in handling the Watergate case. Well, of course, that's absolutely, totally phony.
Is that in the story? I'll be damned.
Well, the Post story. The Times, I must say, played it rather straight.
The Times is what I saw. But the Post said, well, for God's sakes, I mean,
isn't that
Fitzsimmons doesn't even know about the Watergate case.
Well, the point is that Fitzsimmons, Edward Bennett Williams was general counsel of the Teamsters.
Yeah.
What they're trying to say is that he put pressure on Williams to back off of the Watergate case. Williams wouldn't do it, therefore Williams is firing him, and Fitzsimmons is hiring me. Well, that's the cheapest kind of a shot, but that's...
Yeah, that's all right.
That's what we're up against.
It'll still worry Edward Bennett Williams.
It's got him panicked.
And that Cutler, I think when the word's starting to get around town, isn't it, that those guys, the doors are locked on them, and Clark Clifford?
Yeah, what we're going to see is they're going to start fighting back this way. They're going to use the Post because that's their instrument.
That's right.
And they'll throw some mud, but
That's right.
I'm a big boy. I'll fight him. I'll fight him and beat the bastard.
As I told you, I want you to have a good talk with Charlie Walker.
Yes, sir. I called him. And we're going to get together.
And just be, you know, Charlie. He's a wheeler dealer. And say, Charlie, let's talk cold turkey.
Yeah.
You're going to do this and that. And
yep.
You can help him. Because basically, you see, he is a hell of a PR type. And he can do PR stuff. And you can do, you see what I mean?
Oh, we can do a lot.
You may not want to, I don't know what you're going to do about your PR firm, whether you're going to set one up or not.
Well, we have one that we've used that's been pretty damn good.
Fine. Well, maybe you can.
I'm going to talk to
maybe you can. See, Charlie's looking for young men.
You
can fold in the two together. What I mean is, let's don't have our firms fighting each other. Let's have them working together.
Exactly. Well, that's.
See?
That's precisely what I talked to Charlie about. He's very.
What'd he say?
Very receptive, anxious to talk to me. And,
And also tell him, I want Charlie to know that, and I didn't say this and didn't want to say it in front of Schultz, but tell him, now, look, Charlie, there are some lawyers around town that, you can say that John Conley and a few of the rest of us have found. Cutler's one, this is another, and so forth. They ain't going to get in.
Mm-hmm.
And we just think that in your representation of your clients, you should not be under any illusions about the fact that this is the way it's going to work, you know. Don't let it make it appear that, oh, they all have to come to you. You'd say that there are several other Republican law firms and so forth, and we're not
sure
of that. But you see, mate, I don't want Charlie Walker to get in bed with Edward Bennett Williams. I don't want him to get in bed with Lloyd Cutler. See my point?
He understands that.
You think he does?
Yes, sir. He's the kind of guy that understands that. I don't want him coming to me either because I want to be rather selective. I want to leave myself about half of my time free to do other things than practicing law. I don't
just say that we want to,
him, but
that the president, aren't you saying the president says that he wants to be sure that we want to help Charlie Walker all we can?
Right.
I mean, we want to be helpful and sort of that, so we all want to work together, and so let's be sure to have our little kitchen cabinet outside. So.
Charlie and I talked about this down at the Republican convention, actually. And
did you really?
Yes, sir. He thinks this way, and I don't think we have any problems there. There are a few others in town that we'll start. We'll have our own little meetings, and we'll figure ways to drive these.
Well, you'll have a little meeting, you know, and then you see I can meet with a group of this from time to time. You know, like I really mean we'll have a kitchen cabinet. We'll have the damnedest thing going here. I mean, I'm really out to see to it that this old establishment, the Clark Cliffords and the Lloyd Cutlers and the Edward Bennett Williams, that they are on the outside looking in for a change.
Well, they are. They have been, you know, they have been so vicious with us when I think about it. When I think of Williams, I'm delighted to stick it to him. I'm sorry that he fights back in the newspapers and makes it sound sinister, but that's the way he plays the game. But when I think of the things that those bastards have been doing to us for 4 years and getting paid by our friends to sit there and do it, it just is outrageous. But we'll change it. We'll change it in spades. CBS is the funny one, Mr. President.
I understand. Julie told me that there was some sort of a study that had come out, an Efron-type study, that clearly demonstrated that CBS was the worst, NBC much better than CBS, and ABC the best.
That's
right. Is that true?
Yes, sir.
What study was that? Accuracy in Media?
Yes, sir. They put out one. That was the product of Schurz.
But it did show. Oh, I see. But it did show that.
But there's another one that was put out by MIT by a couple of people who are against it.
Oh, I know the libs. Yeah.
Edwin Diamond. And he found the same thing.
Right.
That CBS was the most negative. There's one at Syracuse that did the same thing. And now, of course, AEI, whose name we will soon change, but AEI is doing an exhaustive one. And thus far showing it even worse than as far as CBS is concerned. Just incredible.
Is CBS, what are they doing? Still
they're sucking around everywhere. They're trying to find out.
Don't let him back.
Hell no. Their bureau chief down here, Bill Small.
Oh, yes, he's back.
Has been asking everybody in the White House that he can talk to, what is Colson up to? What's he really going to be doing on the outside? They're just scared to death that I'm going to go out there to bring lawsuits against him. And I am. I talked to your friend in Miami the Beebe's friend that we had discussed at dinner that night. I can't think of his name now.
I know.
Democrat who was their finance chairman. Sounded like a fine gentleman on the telephone. He's going to come up and see me.
Also, get Crutchfield.
Yes, hell. We'll get him very much involved. But the funny thing, they took Buchanan to lunch, and Buchanan said he barely could make it through the lunch. He was laughing so hard because
Oh, really?
Because they were so nervous during the lunch, and they kept wanting to know, really, is the administration really unhappy with them? And
Buchanan handle it?
Well, Buchanan said, well, I just told them they broke it off, that's all. And it was their business, not ours. We didn't have any hard feelings, but they broke it off. And
He told them that?
Oh, yeah. He said, it's just...
Great.
He said, you fellows just broke it off. So what do you expect? And then he kept saying, what's Golden going to do? And he's the one who's really been anti-media. Now, he's leaving, and, of course, Pat said, well, he's going to be very much involved in things. And that apparently that caused Small to drop his drop his lunch. But that's the way, really, we want to keep these guys.
Julie was also saying, I don't know whether I didn't see it, because I haven't been reading the summary, that she said she thought it was Novak had written a piece to the effect that the media... bias. They were going to, that they had a real problem on losing credibility because so many of them were reporting that the government was gaining in the last month or so forth. Did he have a comment?
Yeah, Novak had a piece on that. He's been pretty good.
Why did he write that? I wonder.
He kind of believes this.
What was the theme? He just picked up the fact that they were, of course, as you know, they were writing that stuff. I'd say, what the hell is this? Remember those precincts they'd pick out and Detroit and the rest?
Yes, sir.
Braden.
And then
Novak reported it.
Novak had a column on it. I can't remember the precise thing, but the point was that
let me say, that job is not yet done. I want that done exhaustively and followed up, and we really destroy their credibility.
I've sent the latest draft of Buchanan's piece to Jim Keough as the guy to author it, Jim is reviewing it this weekend. All right, I hope he is. He said he would be. That's one we want to... It's coming... Kevin Phillips has written some brilliant stuff. He wrote a column based on the speech I gave up in New England and said that the CBS Washington Post access has to be destroyed because it's destroying the credibility of the media. And then he gives all the instances that I had cited. He really...
great.
He doesn't have a hell of a lot of circulation, but he...
That's all right. Oh, he's read.
Yeah, but the more of it you get, the better.
Well,
you know, the thing that was... really most fascinating to me, Mr. President, in the aftermath of the election was the study that's being done up in Syracuse by two liberal political scientists, McClure and Pattison, on what really influenced voters during the campaign. I mentioned this to you when we were having dinner that night, but so the Watergate episode had very little impact and went on. The Vietnam Peace Initiative shifted votes to McGovern because they suspected political contrivance.
Yeah.
But then it says the single most important impact on voters were the Democrats for Nixon spot ads on defense, the hard hat, and welfare. And that when they did post-election interviewing and asked people what they remembered from the campaign, most of the voters who could recall anything from television recalled those commercials.
Yeah.
And went on to say that those commercials had solidified their decision to vote for you and against McGovern. And it's interesting in hindsight because...
remember when we had a big talk about with McGregor to get the negative ads, negative ads?
I mean, we had to work so hard.
Also, remember we poured them into California and Michigan
for
2 weeks, didn't we?
That's right. And look what the impact was.
Unfortunately, we didn't put them in Massachusetts.
I was just about to say, if we put a few more of those in Massachusetts, I think we'd have...
We didn't put them in, did we, though? We didn't. We just didn't think it was worth it.
No, we put in some positive stuff in Massachusetts. We thought it was...
A mistake.
When I think how hard we had to fight to get this, and this is the first scientific analysis.
Let me say, though, you've got to give a lot of credit to Haldeman and his crowd for getting those, for preparing those ads.
Damn right. I think they were the best political ads ever prepared.
That's right.
I think they were, and that was Bob. Bob really rode those home.
Rammed them through.
He did, because they ran against...
You see, this is something that basically none of our people like the... McGregor's, the Doles, and the rest, they didn't have much stomach for that sort of stuff.
That's right. Exactly. But it's...
very interesting.
Yeah, it is. And it's kind of nice in hindsight to know that we were on target on that one, because I think Alderman and myself, and of course you, were the only people that really... everybody was the other way on that, so I'm circulating this study so that we'll, for the next campaign, people will remember that... God damn it, you have to attack. When you attack, you kill the other guy.
That's right.
Just damn simple. I talked, as you asked me to, Mr. President, I talked to Webster and told him that you meant everything. He said, well, God, he said, the president, everything the president was saying is what I've been wanting to do for years. Rogers, and he said, maybe I didn't come on strong with him, but he said,
I didn't want him to.
He said, I tell you, I will devote every waking moment to that job. He said, I know what has to be done over there. I know the best is it has to be cleaned up. And he said, my idea of fairness is, he said, for 8 years they screwed us from there, so we ought to have some time to screw them.
That's right.
He understands it.
He really knows, does he?
Oh, yes, yes.
Good.
He's written you a little letter, which I have. He just said, you know, he understands it totally, and we'll just ram it home. And he's an East Tennessee...
I know the type.
Hard rock Republican. He went to some little state school in Maryville.
A little fine for you, like Whittier, I know.
He's a guy who, he clawed his way up the hard way. He's gonna use this.
That'll be a signal around this town, too.
Oh, that'll tell people a lot of things.
Yeah, because I think Bork's a good signal, too.
Bork is marvelous. God, on that picture on television last night, I just loved it.
You mean the beard?
The beard.
Yeah.
But he looks a little mean, too.
Yeah. And also, did they have the picture of the pretty Negro woman?
No.
We made her the deputy.
Right. No, I didn't see that.
Yeah, she's very attractive, you know.
But Bork, you know, is a real signal because all the networks said Bork, who drafted the administration's anti-busing position, you know, well, that, by God, that tells them something.
Right.
That's a signal. Every signal you're putting out, Mr. President, with the appointments thus far are just superb. I have been spending the morning in here with Malik trying to get more Poles and Italians, though.
I know, but we're going to get them at all other levels. Sure.
That's right. Oh, that's what I mean.
And that'll get around. Now, incidentally, the Volpe thing helps that way, though.
Yes, it does.
Volpe.
Yeah, and
the Scally thing.
Scally thing.
Now, I'm telling her, Holland's having to ramrod that with Rogers today. But I think the Scally thing will be superb in that, don't you?
Well, it'll be like the Brennan appointment, Mr. President. It is not
expected.
It's not the expected, and therefore it will get twice the play.
That's right.
And with Scally and friends in the press.
And then we'll get out the word about the second level things.
Yep.
Like I told him, because I've been, Malik is doing this at my direction. I said, where the hell are these Italians? And they said today they found 6 more. And I said, okay, let's get them.
Well, some of our people, you know, unfortunately, and I guess it's you.
They have a bias.
They have a bias. You take a guy like this fellow Stella, who's a businessman, self-made, very successful. Our people say, well, you know, he didn't go to Harvard. God damn, he's built a business from scratch, and let's get him in. So I've given Malik some of these. He's
that's right.
He understands. And
we got the Brenniger thing. I would have done over it, I know, but they had an error in his bio. They had him as a Catholic.
I know.
Damn it, I raised hell about that today. He's all right. He's going to be a very good man.
He looks like a strong man.
He's a strong man,
yep.
And so forth. And we can't go. And if we get Scally, then we've got 3 Catholics, which is not bad. But on the other hand, Brenniger was a perfect spot to put an Italian in.
With Scally, we'll have, Scally, Ash.
We have 4 Catholics. And Brennan.
And Brennan, yeah.
Oh, 3 Catholics.
3, yeah.
See, Ash is good. That's because he's a very devout Catholic.
Yep. No, I think that's fine, and that we've got to market that a little more, but...
Well,
you know,
and we'll market the second level ones, too.
And we'll market the... Oh, definitely. Oh, hell yes, we can... Balzano and...
Got to get a poll or two. I haven't found any polls.
Oh, we got a couple of... Oh, we got a Mitchell Kapolinski for the Immigration Naturalization Service. Hell of a guy. We've got John Stasny, who's the home builder. I talked to Jim Lynn about him, and he thought he was terrific.
Right.
So, no, we'll get some polls. We've got a couple of
those out. When we... The one thing we want to do about the Poles and Italians, I can't see all these assistant secretaries having with
no,
the time, but when I have the Poles and Italians, by God, they're to come in for pictures.
That's right.
And we'll get those out to the you know, their local press.
You're right about the Scally thing in the sense that Brennan has gotten more publicity than all other cabinet members combined.
Sure.
I've been watching the news summary.
Sure.
Incredible and great. Interesting. The best stuff has been from the conservatives. You know, it used to be labor was an anathema,
yeah.
But now it's the hard hat syndrome. But Scally will do the same thing, you see, because he's not expected. And he's not the typical guy.
Typical elitist.
And he's colorful. And
right.
Of course, the press love him. They'll play him up big.
Press do like him, don't they?
Yes. Yeah. They respect him, you know, and he's not. He really hasn't sucked around with him much, but he's played it straight, and
that's right.
He was popular, and he's one of them, and that's kind of elevating That's
right.
Them in that sense. So he will get one hell of a ride when that goes. It isn't so much the numbers.
What about his colleague over there that's always been actress from CBS?
Rather?
Huh?
Rather?
Oh, no, the worst one.
Pierpoint?
No, the bad one. The economic man.
Chris, they're all bad. Sure.
Yeah, Daniel, yeah.
Yeah, well.
What's he up to at the moment? He's always in attacking us, even now.
Yeah, he's been making up Watergate stories, and he's been... He hasn't given... I've never seen a good report from Daniel, sure. I haven't seen one in... I've never seen one.
Well, anyway, incidentally, Julie told me that somebody at Andrew High School found a way to blame the administration for life going down. How the hell was that?
Postal rates.
Huh?
Postal rates.
Well, for Christ's sake, but we didn't do anything with postal rates.
Well, we did, but...
what I meant is...
We did the way we wrote that bill originally, that put it into the corporation and
I see.
The authority of the corporation.
Well, that's just too bad, but that was good news, don't you agree?
Oh, delighted. I just, it was... I don't believe in the eye for an eye, but I must say that thinking back to the photo coverage of your... Here is a president of the United States who has the greatest Horatio Alger story in history.
That's right.
Reelected with the biggest mandate in history.
And damn near by himself.
Right. And
without a party.
Without a party.
Without the media. And without an establishment.
And we give those bastards an exclusive photo, and they don't use it. They use an uncomplimentary one. And then all the photos all through the article are uncomplimentary.
That's right.
If when you think back the way they treated Kennedy,
that's right.
It just is an outrage. It really is. I mean, they wouldn't... If they got a bad picture of Kennedy, they wouldn't use it.
I know.
Or if he'd sneak out with a gal, they'd
right.
print it.
That's right.
But I must say that when life went under, I just gave up a big rousing cheer. Frankly, Mr. President, we have some things going with Tom Whitehead, who's turning out to be a really tower of strength. He's got some ideas which I'm going to study over this weekend that are really superb. I mean, they're all within the realm of the things that would be justified in the public interest because the economic power of the networks is too great. And I think if we slowly do some of these over the next couple of years, that we will really change the direction of thinking.
But the power is too great, and it should be changed.
Yes, it should, on the merits. And Whitehead, who's a former Rand Corporation analyst, believes this intellectually as well as being politically very strongly disposed to it. So it's and his credentials are impeccable. So I think I'm going to work very closely with him just a labor of love to get those bastards put on the defensive a little bit. We'll maybe see one of them go the way of life, and that'd really be a cheer.
They won't do that.
No.
They're too strong. But on the other hand, just let them suck around. That's what my view is. And never let them in. Boy, I mean, they should be treated coldly, absolutely coldly.
Well, that's what's getting to them. That's why CBS is asking all these questions. They know that I won't even return Paley's phone call. And
that's right.
He knows goddamn well that... I'm the one guy around here who knows what can be done, and
right.
you can be sure that.
Well, that's a very interesting thing to do at the present time, incidentally, would be for you to have a nice talk with NBC. If I could say,
yeah,
you got my point.
Yeah,
and just let it get around.
Well, it was kind of interesting the television last night. Howard Smith, when he mentioned the Teamster thing and me, did it in a very complimentary way. And John Chancellor said. Charles Colson, who is the canniest of President Nixon's advisors. I mean, it was a complimentary thing. And then CBS just zapped it. You know, they talked about how the Teamsters had tried to interfere with Bennett Williams' handling of the case. The same line that he gave the Post. They just are the enemy. That's
right.
And if our people start letting Dan Rather come waltzing through, just should be absolutely hard as nails.
That's right.
And resist anything.
Yeah, for them to say that, but that's a way out.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
Way out.
You have to really stretch to do that.
We somewhere got it. Oh, God.
Awful. But
they know it now. Now that's the thing to do, though. It's just, but So it doesn't appear it's just ABC. I play NBC a bit now, too.
Yeah, I think that's a very good point about NBC. And I maybe I'll talk to Chancellor Heath.
Chancellor, just...
He's malleable, you know.
Yeah, just say you're going to leave and how are things going and right. whoever they're, yeah. Okay?
Well, I would... And some of the people up the line I can talk to that are pretty decent below Goodman.
Well, I want the ones that it will get back to CBS.
Oh, that we can manage.
Okay.
Yes, sir.
Well, all right. Have a good weekend.
Thank you, Mr. President. Same to you, sir. Thank you.